Thanks for checking out our weekly podcast. Our mission at Grace is to help people worship God, connect to others, and serve both. We hope that you'll be blessed and encouraged by this week's message. For more information about Grace, you can follow us on Facebook or check out our website at experiencegrace.church.
We do want to remember those that have given their lives. I'll never forget my first opportunity being able to go to Washington, D.C. just a couple of years ago. And when we came, had the opportunity to see the Vietnam Memorial for the first time, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Just, I got so emotional just with the gravity of the realization of the number of lives that were given in that war. And then to walk just not too far away and see the Korean Memorial that is set up there in Washington, D.C. as well, and to realize that over 58,000 men and women gave their lives in Vietnam, and over 54,000 gave their lives there in Korea. Not to mention all of the more recent wars and wars even before that. And I know that many of you served in our military, and many of you are remembering some of your lost friends that you served with. And there may be some here today that may have had a family member that passed away in the service. And today we want to remember those lives and celebrate the freedom that we have in America. They say that America is the land of the free because of the brave. And we want to remember them today. Of course, with Memorial Day, there are a lot of things that are going to be going on. We'll have our Memorial Day cookout later today, if the rain holds off. We'll have some games that we'll play. Some of you may hit up some Memorial Day sales and maybe go to a pool that opened on Memorial Day weekend. But let's not forget that this isn't just another holiday. It's not just another paid day off. It's a day that has been set aside to remember our fallen soldiers and those that have lost their lives in the line of duty. And so every one of us today, I think if we were to go around and take a survey, I think every single one of us would say, hey, I'm thankful for those that were willing to serve and those that were willing to give their lives. Would everyone say that this morning? I don't think there would be anyone around us here that would say something opposite. If you would maybe look at that differently, then maybe you're not in the right place, all right? We're thankful for those that have done it. But if we were to stop and think about those that sacrificed their lives to ensure our safety and our freedom, all of us would say, man, I'm thankful for them. But when was the last time, outside of this weekend, when was the last time that you meditated upon a fallen soldier? I mean, stop and think about that for a second. Of course, we did last year, Memorial Day. We stopped and remembered those that gave their lives. But outside of Memorial Day, when was the last time that you did? Those of you that have been in the service, I'm certain that you have thought about them more than those that haven't. Those of you that have loved ones that have given their lives, I'm certain that you have thought about them often as well. But in the United States of America, our country at one point was wise enough to realize that we needed to set aside the last Monday in May to intentionally remember and intentionally honor those that have given their lives. The sad truth is if we hadn't set aside this day to remember those our fallen heroes, then many of us would fail to remember and honor them in the way that they deserve. I mean, just stop and think about that. Like, if we didn't have Memorial Day set up, then there's a good chance that we would not remember and memorialize them as often as we should. And the same thing that is true about Memorial Day is true spiritually as well. There is a great need to intentionally remember some things that God has done in our lives. Just like in our country, there's a great need to intentionally remember those that have given their lives in the service of our country. We need to remember that in our service for the Lord, God wants us to intentionally remember the things that He has done and the things that He is doing in our lives. Throughout the Bible, you're going to see a lot of different places where there's monuments, there are different memorial feasts that are set up, and you'll see the same stories repeated almost ritually throughout the scriptures. The great works of God are repeated and represented so that people would not forget the things that God has done. We joke around a little bit about all the rain and everything going on right now, but if the sun ever does come out, most of us, after it rains, the sun comes out, what are we looking for? You're looking for a rainbow, right? Have you guys seen a rainbow recently? Anyone seen one recently? If anyone has seen one recently, all of us have seen it because everybody takes a picture and puts it on social media, right? That's just a thing. But what was the rainbow created for? so that we would remember something. Some of you are thinking, well, that's not what I thought the rainbow was for. It's God's symbol, all right? God is the one that invented the rainbow, and it was invented for a very specific reason. It was invented by God to remind us that he would never flood the earth again. Throughout the scriptures, there was the feast of the Passover that the Jewish people would celebrate. And whenever they would celebrate the feast of the Passover, what were they doing? They were remembering when God had brought them out of Egyptian bondage through those 10 plagues there in Egypt. In the New Testament, when Paul was talking to the church at Corinth, he talked to them about, hey, I want to tell you about what happened at the Last Supper, and you guys can kind of do the same thing through what we call the Lord's Supper. And when you drink the drink, it's supposed to remind you of something. What's it supposed to remind you of? The blood of Jesus that was shed. When you eat the bread, it's supposed to remind you of something. What's it supposed to remind you of? The body of Jesus that was broken. And so today, as we're thinking about the fact that God wants us to intentionally remember some things, I want to bring a message that we're going to call this: tell that story again. Tell that story again. We are a story-driven people. How many of you guys have a favorite movie? Anybody have a favorite movie? Everybody say their favorite movie on three. Ready? One, two, three. All I heard was Forrest Gump. No one else said anything. We got Forrest Gump. Let's try that again, all right? It's a little warm in here, okay? So let's try that again. Your favorite movie. I've given you time to think about it, all right? One. Some of you are like, I'm not sure if I can say it in church. Just don't say it loud. All right, here we go. Ready? One, two, three. There we go. I heard a lot more there. You know why you love that movie? Because you love the story. And there are certain stories that we love to hear over and over again. Whenever you're flipping through the channels and you see Forrest Gump on, or you see the one with what is it called? A Few Good Men, you know, in the courtroom scene where Tom Cruise is coming right at Jack Nicholson, you know. And how many of you guys stop and watch that every time? I stop and watch it every time because you know what I want to say? Tell me that story again. I want to hear it. There are two people in real life that it's not a movie, but two people in real life, they've told me stories that I love to hear over and over again because when they tell them, it makes me laugh. And one of them is from a guy named John Anderson. He was a missionary in London, England. We supported him while he was planting some churches over there. And now he's back in Georgia. He's pastoring a church down there. But before he went to the mission field, he was serving in a church in Tampa, Florida. And down in Tampa, they have a larger homeless community. And he's telling me this story about this homeless guy that he got to know. And he said, this guy was funny. He said, I would bring him a meal, you know, and I got to know him a little bit, and he found out that I was a pastor. He said, so every time this homeless guy would see me, he'd do the Tim Tebow pose. He'd get down like this, and he'd go, man of God, just like that. He'd just say, man of God, like that, you know. And so he didn't think much of it until one day he got a phone call in the middle of the night. It's like midnight, and the cops call. And they say, John, we need you to come down to the church. There's a naked man in the church parking lot. And this is a true story. I'm not making this up, all right, unless he made it up. But he said, there's a naked man in the church parking lot swinging a chain around, and we don't know what to do. And John said, what's he look like? And they told him, he goes, I know who that is. And so John says, hold on, I'll be down there. So he gets dressed. He goes down to the church parking lot, and he sees this guy out there. And he tells the police, hey, I got this, all right, guys? So when John starts walking up, the guy swinging his chain, butt naked, looks up and sees John, and guess what he does? Man of God, just like that. And when he did, the cops jumped on top of him and ended the whole thing. That's why I never signed up to be a police officer, because I don't have to deal with that stuff, right? But man of God, makes me laugh every time. Every time I get around, I'm like, John, tell me that story again. I want to hear it. I want to hear that one. There are other stories that we like to hear, and they inspire us. One of the stories that I was thinking of was the pastor that I grew up under when I was a teenager, Pastor Thacker over in Danvers. He told the same story over and over again. And to be honest with you, I've probably heard the story probably 30 to 50 times, easily. Because every time he had a chance, he was looking for the opportunity to tell the story about how he had worked in a factory before they knew that asbestos was bad, and he got asbestosis, and he was in the hospital. Now he's probably in his 60s when he's in the hospital, and he's been in there for a long time, and he said he prayed to God, Lord, if you'll get me out of this, I'll tell everybody I can about how you did it. And you know what? God healed him. And Pastor Thacker fulfilled that promise because every person I was ever around when he was there, he was telling them that story, you know. And I kind of wish that he was still alive so I could say to him, hey, tell me that story again. Because it was just so inspiring to hear his faith and to see how God had worked through that. There's a story in the Bible, and we're going to pick it up in Joshua chapter 3. It's repeated a lot, from Sunday school all the way up to the pulpit in the big people services, and it's repeated throughout the scriptures as well. And it's one that God emphasized the importance of retelling it over and over again. It's the story of the Israelites. You guys know it. Many of you, if you've been in church, you know that the Israelites had been in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. God had told them, hey, I've got a promised land for you, and it's going to be amazing. I can't wait for you to see it for yourselves. And they had to wait 400 years. And finally, after 400 years, God raises up an old boy named Moses, and goes in just like Charlton Heston in the movie, said, let my people go, you know, and Pharaoh's like, I don't think so. And of course, you know, the 10 plagues that came along, and the last plague was that plague of the death angel that was going to pass over, and anyone that did not have the blood of a spotless lamb on the doorpost of their home, then their oldest son would die. And of course, after that night, the 10th plague, finally Pharaoh said, fine, go. And so the Israelites left Egypt, and they're going to the promised land, right? They get to the Red Sea, and by the time they get there, they realize that the Egyptians were like, what have we done? Like, there goes all of our workforce. We're not going to be able to build these pyramids anymore. So, like, what are we going to do? So they go after the Israelites, and the Israelites are at the Red Sea. They don't know what to do, and God tells Moses, we're going over. And, of course, what happened to the Red Sea? It parted. They go over into the wilderness there, and they finally make it over to the Jordan River, and just on the other side of the Jordan River is where the Promised Land is. This is their chance to go in. So they send in 12 spies, you know the story, for 40 days, they're spying out the land, they come back, and 10 of the spies say, there's giants in the land, you know, like the NBA should come recruit some people from over here, they're giants, they're soldiers, there's no way we can take these guys out. But two of them, anybody remember their names? Joshua and Caleb, two of them were like, man, God already told us we could win this war, and we can do this, let's go, and they decided they couldn't. And so God told them, every day that you were in the wilderness searching, or in the promised land searching it out, you're going to spend 1 year in the wilderness. So for 40 days of searching, they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And God told them that anyone that was 20 years old and older would not be able to go into the promised land. The only ones that would be able to go in were the younger generation and Joshua and Caleb. So now 40 years has passed. And you could just imagine, I mean, these guys have been in Egyptian bondage, and now they've been wandering in the wilderness, and now it's the younger generation, because everyone else has died off. As a matter of fact, Moses has now went up onto the mountain, and Moses has looked over into the promised land, and God let him see it, but God didn't let him go to it. And Moses died on that mountain, and now who is it that's in charge? Joshua. Joshua's now in charge, and they're about to cross over into the Jordan. And that's where we pick up the story. So we're going to be starting in Joshua chapter number 3 and in verse number 9. I want you to see this story. It says, Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby shall ye know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. These are all the enemies, the people that are living in the promised land. Verse 11 says, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. Verse number 14 says, it came to pass that when the people removed their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the Lord, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. We know what that's like around here. Verse 16, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. Isn't that amazing to think that not only did God split it, but he made it dry for them to cross the Jordan River. They're standing there in the middle of it on dry ground, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. 440 years of waiting for this moment. And they finally, I mean, they didn't get to see the Red Sea. The only people there that had seen the Red Sea part were the ones that were like just barely old enough to remember it, and then Joshua and Caleb. And so now they're getting to see the Jordan River part. And that, I mean, it was a huge step of faith, and they're going across on dry ground. They get across, and they're like, our God is awesome, you know. We're gonna go into this land, and we're gonna get things done, you know. But here's one thing that those of you that know the Bible know is that the story's not over yet. Like, here they cross over the Jordan River, and God's like, hold up, I got something else you need to do. What in the world would God want them to do after they've gotten to where they've wanted to be for 440 years? Look what it says in Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 1. It came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, and he said, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. So that they get over, and God's like, hold on, here's what I want you to do. Get 12 guys, one from each tribe, send them back into the middle of the river where it's still dry, where you've already been through it. You've had the faith to get across. I want you to go back to it. And I want you to get one stone for each guy. Bring them back. Stack them up. Verse 4 says that then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared, the children of Israel, out of every tribe, a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon the shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And I'm sure they're thinking, dude, you done lost your mind. And he's like, just wait till we get to Jericho. You're going to think I'm crazy now. Wait till I tell you what we're going to do with those walls, right? They're like, all right, we'll go back in there. Verse number 8 says, children of Israel did so, as Joshua commanded. They took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. If you don't know the story, if you've never heard this story before, you look at this and go, what's this all about? Why in the world, after accomplishing what they had just accomplished by faith, trusting God as they walked through the Jordan River, why in the world would God want them to go back and get these stones? He gives us the answer in verses 6 and 7. We skip those. Verse number 6 says this. Here's why. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? So the reason I want you to stack them up is because in the future, I want your children to look at those stones, and I want them to say, what's up with that? Like, tell me the story behind the stones. In verse number 7, he tells them what they're supposed to tell him. You shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. What we see taking place in this passage is we see God pointing out the importance of intentionally remembering some things. Just like we established with Memorial Day, it was wise of our leaders back in the day when they established Memorial Day, it was wise of them to set aside a day so that we would intentionally remember our fallen heroes. God says there, it's important for us to do the same thing in that we need to intentionally do some things that will force us to remember the things that God has done or is doing in our lives. The only reason that God told them to go back into the Jordan, to haul these stones out, and to take the time to set them up was to generate questions that led to opportunities to tell the story again. Look what I said in verse number 6 again, and this is the question that they were going to ask. This may be a sign among you that your children ask their fathers in time to come. What mean ye by these stones? The whole reason he wanted them to stack up the stones, go back in, bring them out, stack them up, was because he wanted the children to notice that they had done something that just didn't seem quite right. Like, those stones, they don't look like a natural formation. What mean ye by these stones? I recognize that you've set them up. Like, why did you do that? You know, this would be similar to our children asking, hey, what's Memorial Day all about? You know, I asked my son Andrew yesterday, I said, hey son, do you know what Memorial Day is all about? And I'm sure that we've told him in the past, but yesterday when I asked him that question, he said, I don't know. And so we had a chance to talk to him about, hey, this is the reason that we have Memorial Day, and, you know, started to explain all of that to him, and then it began to click for him, you know. Our country set up a day that would create opportunities to tell stories. What are we doing to create opportunities to tell stories of what God has done in our lives to the next generation? I mean, stop and think about the amazing things. Can anybody think of something that God has done in your life that you were like, I don't ever want to forget when God, you know, when he answered this prayer, or when God came through and did something that I was totally not expecting? Or I hope that we can look back and think about things that we can remember God doing something amazing in our lives. But here's the big question. Does the next generation know about those things? Does the next generation know what God has done, or what maybe what God is working in your heart about right now? You know, the truth is that we as American Christians aren't very good about bringing up the next generation. I mean, let's be honest. We put a lot of things ahead of God in our lives. And then we wonder, what's wrong with the next generation? Can I just tell you that if God is not a priority for you, then you are a fool to think that he will be a priority for your children. You know, it's important for us to recognize that if our children are going to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, there's only one person that can do that, or two people, I guess, that can do that. You and your spouse, the mother, the father. It's our responsibility to bring them up so that they are able to hear the truth of the Word of God and what God is doing in our lives. What are we doing to create opportunities to tell stories? I mean, there ought to be times where our children ask us questions like, hey, why do we go to church on Sundays? You know, what? You know, sometimes there's other things going on, but we choose not to participate in those because, you know, going to church is a priority for us. Like, why are we doing that? And then we have an opportunity to talk to them about why we do that. There will be times where our children say, you know, why do we take time to pray? What's this prayer thing all about? You know, the sad thing is a lot of parents have never prayed with their children. And you are missing not only an incredible opportunity, but really you're missing an incredible responsibility. It's our responsibility to lead them up, and so we're going to faithfully attend church, and we're going to take time to pray, we're going to take time to read our Bibles and talk about the things that God has done, you know, and teach our children these stories about God and the truths about who God is and what God has done in our lives. There ought to be times where our children say, what's the deal with the Bible? Talk to me about, you know, is all that stuff really true? Like, did Noah, you know, did God really flood the whole earth? What about dinosaurs, you know? And they should be asking these kinds of questions. And we may not be able to have all of the answers, but we can at least try to point them in the right direction. Our children might ask, why do we, you know, when we go to church, there's two services, but we stay for both of them. Like, you serve in one of them, and then you attend one of them. Like, why do we stay in both? And then we talk to them about the importance of serving God and the fact that he's given us talents and abilities, not just for ourselves, but to be able to serve him by serving others, and we can explain that to them. There will be times where our children ask what's so important about being a part of a life group, you know, and connecting with other people. And we explain to them that God did not create us to live the Christian life in isolation, but he wants us to live in community and pray for one another and love one another and edify one another and all of those other things. The sad truth is that many families aren't setting up many monuments for their children to ask questions. We go to church on Sunday mornings and we expect that to be enough spiritual input to lead our children to face all of the battles that they're going to have before them. Everybody realizes that our children are not going to have a smooth and easy ride the rest of their lives. Everybody realize that? And it's our responsibility to teach them how to have faith. And the only way to have faith is through the Word of God. And so we need to be leading them to opportunities to where we can talk about the Word of God and what God is doing in our lives. There aren't many things that point our children to the Lord a lot of times, and often, in the majority of Christians' homes, we're doing more to point them away from the Lord than to point them to the Lord. Can I just ask the pointed question this morning on Memorial Day, when we think about why we set aside things to remember the past? In what ways are we pointing our family or the next generation to God and his work? I mean, seriously, think about that. Don't think about Josh up here preaching, or the person sitting across the way from you, for you personally, the next generation, whether you have children at home or grandchildren or nieces and nephews, whatever you may have, younger cousins or a neighbor kid, whatever it is, what are we doing to point them to Jesus? And in what ways have they seen God at work in your life? In what ways have they seen you serving God? And what ways have they seen you being changed by Him? With this command to Joshua, God was making a priority. And that priority was to make sure that the next generation saw Jesus and saw what Jesus had done for them. This last year, on September the 11th, I don't remember all of the details around it, but I remember thinking, I'm going to make sure my kids understand what happened on September 11th. And so I recorded a few things that were on TV that told a lot of the stories. And it's crazy to me to think that there are a lot of people that were not alive when 9/11 happened. How many of you guys were not alive in 2001? I know there's a good number of people. Yeah, Jason, not alive. Not awake, maybe, right? But there's a whole generation that wasn't alive for that, you know, and they don't really fully understand everything that happened. And so we sat down as a family, and my kids were like, Dad, do we have to do this? I said, yes, sit down. You're going to listen. You're going to like it, all right? But they told stories about people that were in the trade centers, and they were telling stories about a lot of the firefighters and the police officers and the first responders, you know, and it was moving to me to see our children kind of go from, I don't really want to watch that, to just being gripped by what had happened on that day. And I think it would be wise for us as Americans, you know, to realize that we do have a responsibility to teach our children about our patriotic background, our soldiers that have served, those that have given their lives, and the first responders that have done everything. We are blessed to live in America, aren't we? And we need to teach the next generation that we are blessed to live here. But listen, more important than teaching them about what 9/11 was about, we need to teach them what the cross is about. More important than teaching them to be patriotic, we need to teach them to be spiritual and love Jesus. That doesn't mean they're mutually exclusive. Hey, you can do both, all right? Don't get me wrong. I'm American born, American bred. When I die, I'll be American dead, all right? But listen, it's important for us to realize that God has established throughout the Scriptures, time after time, tell the story again, tell the story again, tell the story again. When's the last time that our children heard the stories of what God has done and is doing in our lives? As Christians, don't miss opportunities to teach them what God has done and is doing. Point them to Jesus. We need to remember these things. Look what it says in verse number 21 of chapter 4. It says, "And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Verse 22 says, Then ye shall let your children know." And I have those few words underlined in my Bible. Let your children know. There's a lot of things we need to teach them. We need to teach them to be good workers. Amen? Yeah? I think that's important. That's something that's missing. Anybody that's a boss or somebody that leads a group of workers, you know that if somebody actually shows up on time and actually works, then you've got a good person, because we live in a generation that's just lazy. A lot of them are. And you're already a step ahead if you'll do those things. Teach your kids to be hard workers. Teach them to show up on time. Teach them to show respect to people. You know, open the doors for people and be kind when you're driving on the road, even if people are driving slow in the fast lane. You know, that kind of thing, all right? So we need to teach them that. But there are other things we need to let our children know. And here's what he says. Let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you, until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. And here's why you need to tell them, because of what he says in verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. You know what those children needed to know? They needed to know that the hand of the Lord was mighty. Why did they need to know that God's hand was mighty? Why did they need to know that God was strong? Anybody want to take a guess? Because what was the city that was just on the other side of the Jordan? We read about it earlier. It starts with a J and ends with Jericho. Anybody remember? Jericho. Anybody remember what was going to happen at Jericho? You know, they were going to have to fight them. But they couldn't even get inside the walls to fight them. And they were going to hear Joshua not say, hey, go back into the water. They were going to hear Joshua say, why don't you march around those walls once a day? Don't say a thing. What? Yeah, do that for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, I want you to walk seven times around. And when we're done, we're just going to yell and see what happens. You're crazy. You know, what did you eat before you went to bed last night? Something's wrong with you, you know what I mean? Come on, Joshua. But what they had learned was they had learned that if God was powerful enough to get them through the Jordan River, he was going to be powerful enough to get them across the walls of Jericho. And remember, when we read earlier, it was not just the Jerichoites, Indians, whatever they are. It was the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and all the other ites that were out there. There was a lot of enemies out there. And listen, I want you to know that our children are going to have a lot of enemies, and they need to be taught that God is mighty and God is powerful, and we are the ones that have the responsibility to teach them that. There are a few things that give hope in the present like the faith built in the past. And our children can learn and their faith can grow by the things that God has done in our lives. I can't help but think of last week. I probably need to apologize to you guys because the first service people didn't really get to fully experience what we got to do last week. We mentioned during the worship part of the service last week that there was a family that came to Easter Sunday, and they've been coming ever since. And their two-year-old son had had brain surgery. His name's Asen. He had had brain surgery when he was 1 year old, and they found out right after coming to that Easter Sunday service that they were told that he had another tumor that had showed up in his brain, and they were going to leave for Mayo last Sunday right after the morning service. And so we asked many of you to be praying, and many of you said, oh, we'll be praying for them this week. And in the second service, that family was actually here. So in the service, we had them come up front, and we all got around them, and we prayed while we sang a song about God and how God was praying for them as well. And it's just it was a special time for them, and it was a special time for me, and I think for many of us that have been praying for them, because they went up to Mayo on Sunday, and on Monday they did CT scans and other testing, and on Tuesday they did some more testing, I believe, and met with the doctors. And the doctor said, there is no tumor. And the doctor said, there is no need to operate right now. Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me a little bit of chill bumps, because the doctors down here in Peoria were like, hey, something's bad. Like, we need to do some surgery. And they're like, oh, hold on a second, you know, and we're going to get a second opinion. They go up there and they say, no, there is no need for surgery. As a matter of fact, it's not nearly as bad as they thought it was initially. And you know what? That brings me a level of increase of faith. Does it bring you a little bit of a level of increase of faith to think about the fact that God took care of that? I don't know if maybe he did have a tumor and God took care of it on the way up there. I don't know if there was just bad testing or whatever it was, but you know what? Either way, I'm giving God the glory for it. And you know who needs to hear that story? We need to hear that story. Asen needs to hear that story as he gets older. You know what? I've taken every opportunity. I get a chance to talk to a lot of people throughout the week, and I've taken the opportunity to tell that story several times throughout this last week. And you know what? The people that I shared that story with, they were so encouraged and they were so uplifted because of what God did in my life. It helped them with, I take that back, God didn't do it in my life. God did it in their life. What God did in their life helped me in my life, so I shared it with someone else and it helped them in their lives. And listen, you know who else needs to be telling Asen's story? You guys. You need to tell your kids about that. So on the way home, you say, this is all good to talk about, you know, leading the next generation and talking to them about what God's doing in my life. I don't know how to do that. Let me give you a simple, simple, simple way to do it. Tell them Asen's story. Tell them, hey, we prayed for this two-year-old boy and he was supposed to have a brain tumor. And we said, isn't that awesome that God still has the power to heal? And just celebrate that with our children, because guess what's going to happen? God used that difficulty to increase their faith, but he can use it to increase our children's faith as well. We need to be talking about these things. Just coming to church on a Sunday morning is not going to get it done. The truth is that the miracles that God sends our way give us the faith that it's going to be required for the next trial that's going to come along. We always think about David and Goliath, right? And think about how bad David had to be, 17 years old or so, and just whipping that stone, bam, you're like, yeah, bring it. You know, that's what he said to Goliath. He said, I don't care, you come in, you know, your strength, but I'm coming in the name of the Lord, you know, and chop the dude's head off, like, bam, I like that, you know. I can just, I don't know about you, but I love that part of the story. I can just imagine him walking up with this giant head, just holding it by the hair, you know, like, that's my God right there, you know. Can't do that nowadays, all right? That's Old Testament. We're not under the law anymore, okay? So don't get any ideas. But you know why David had the faith to take on Goliath? Because when he was just a little bit younger, he was a shepherd boy out in the field by himself, and there was a lion that came along. And he believed that God would give him the strength to take on the lion without having the stones. And he killed a lion with his bare hands. And I'm sure he was thinking when he saw Goliath, he's like, you're not nearly as hairy as the lion I took out. I could take you out too, you know, because the trial that he had made it through, the faith that was built in that prepared him for what lied ahead. God commanded these people in the book of Joshua to go back to the middle of the river. He wanted them to revisit their test of faith once they'd already crossed it. Don't miss this part. We look back at that and think, dude, that would have been awesome to be able to walk through. Like, I wouldn't mind walking through the Mackinac River, like, you know, checking, like, this is crazy, you know, like, just, we don't realize how big of a test of faith that was. With all this water, remember it said it was flooded, okay? So, I mean, it wasn't like a normal river, it was like, it was up, and so these huge walls of water, and God said, I want you to go back into that. Go back to that test of faith after they'd already crossed it, so that they could revisit what God had done in there. You know, it would be wise for us to take time to review the ups and downs that we have been through so that we can not only remember for ourselves what God has done, but to share those truths. You say, well, how can I do this with the next generation? I told you earlier, you can share Asen's story. That's a great opportunity to talk to them about things God is doing. But can I encourage you to do another little exercise that'll be helpful? Do what they did. Go back into the trials that you've been through in the last year and think about, meditate upon, ask God for the wisdom to see the lessons that He taught you through them. And revisit those personally, and as God shows those things to you, then begin to talk about them with your children. Hey, you do realize that the things that God allows you to go through, He allows you to go through them not just for your sake, but for the sake of the next generation as well. And for us to go through trials and not talk about what God is doing is totally missing the point of the whole thing. Whenever conflicts arise, we need to allow ourselves to see God in the conflict, and we need to talk to our children about seeing God in the conflict. If we get involved in all of these things and we never talk about, hey, this is maybe what God is doing, or this is the way that God would want us to respond, if we're not addressing the direction that God has led us to go in the midst of it, we're going to have not only a hard time for ourselves, but we're not teaching our children anything. Don't go through these things alone. Talk about what the Lord is doing and how the Lord would have you to respond. Talk about the things that you've learned. Talk about God's faithfulness. Listen, there is a danger in forgetting what God has done. There's a danger in forgetting what God has done. Stop and think about, who was it that was able to cross the Jordan River? Two people and the younger generation. That was it. The rest of them, when it says here, when He told them, hey, I want you to talk to them about us crossing the Jordan River, He also said talk to them about crossing the Red Sea. But there was only two of them that had actually crossed the Red Sea that could remember it. And it was Joshua and Caleb. Listen, the reason those people that crossed the Red Sea were not able to go into the Promised Land was because when they got to where the giants were and they thought, we can't do this, they totally forgot about what God had done in the Red Sea. And I'm here to tell you that in my life and in your life, God has done some works, and many of us have just simply forgotten about them. And there's a danger in forgetting. Just like with Memorial Day, we set aside a day to remember those that have given their lives. We set aside today to memorialize our fallen heroes. And when we forget the sacrifices that have been made to maintain our freedom here in America, we're starting on a slick path. How can we intentionally remember as Christians? Maybe we could, at night before we go to bed, just talk to our kids about what happened that day. Talk about things that God has blessed you with. One of the things I love about our bedtime routine is we take turns praying before we go to bed. And I'm first, then my wife, and then the oldest, middle, and then youngest. And we just rotate through that. And somewhere along the way, they've picked up on it so that every time they pray, as they're praying, I can almost hear the wheels in their brain spinning as they're thinking through the day. And so yesterday, I prayed yesterday, so that one doesn't count. But the night before that was Andrew, and I think Andrew had caught a baby bird that earlier that day, which I put out of its misery without consulting him first, and I'm a really bad dad right now. But as he prayed that night, he's, "Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done." That's kind of his words that he says. But then he starts talking about, "Lord, thank you that I got to catch a bird today." And "Lord, thank you that I got to play Xbox with my friend Joe," or whatever, you know. And he's going through his day and he's thinking about, the girls do this as well, it'd be wise for us to just make that a habit where maybe it's not in prayer, maybe it's just talking about, "Hey guys, let's talk about what God did today. What's something that you've been blessed with? Something that you're thankful for." Maybe it's on the way to church on a weekly basis. It's reflecting on the week. How many of you guys fought on the way to church today? You'll be brave enough to admit it. I fought with my wife on the way to church. There's one. Anyone else? Come on now. Me and my wife drive separate because we like to fight. And so I drive separately from her, so we don't do that. But listen, you know what will help with that is on the way to church, just make it a habit of, "Hey, let's talk about what God has done this week." Talk about it out loud. You say, "I don't have any children." Talk about it with your spouse. Maybe it's just reprioritizing your life and putting God in his rightful place. As I said, in the U.S., we set aside the last Monday in May to remember our fallen heroes. As Christians, may we set aside time to remember what God has done in our lives as well. May we tell that story again. Let's pray together.
Thank you again for joining us for today's podcast. If you have any questions about today's message or would just like more information about Grace, you can email us at info@experiencegrace.church. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook and to subscribe to our channel for more messages just like this one.